You're listening to the Thank God for Nostra podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Thank God for Nostra podcast. My name is Hoddlebod. I work on the Coracle and Plotilla Nostra clients. And today I've got with me Jan, who is working on some interesting stuff with regard to applying Nostra to business software. Thanks for joining me, Jan.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So to get started with, I always ask what your background is. I always ask my guests what their background is. So if you could give me like a quick, like 3 to 5 minute introduction of who you are, what you've been doing, what you're interested in, what got you into Nostra, all that kind of context stuff.
Yeah. So, I work as a product manager for last 5-6 years. Before, I was engineer and also like very focused on UX and design. So basically everything around kind of building great software products. And how I got to Nostra, simply, I guess, through Bitcoin. So I'm a Bitcoiner from whatever, 2014. And in 2022, I actually started working for Swan. Probably somewhere around the time I heard for the first time about Nostra, kind of got interested. And in summer, there was some events at Swan, so I had to change my job. So now I'm actually working for Satoshi Labs, for Trezor. As a kind of side project, during my days at Swan, I realized like how many, business tools we are using, all those SaaS apps. And even though like each of them give you great experience, there are also like lots of troubles with integration and stuff like that. And that's when I started to realize maybe Nostra has some answers to fix this. So I would say that's kind of my very, very brief history and kind of how I got to Nostra.
Yeah, great. I love that angle because, definitely working on a sizable team is painful, but just working by yourself too, this morning I was sending links to myself via Signal in the note to self thing. It's like, right. This is so primitive. Let's get into it. So Nostra for business. Well, I guess, first of all, like, what are the size of the teams that you've experienced, like at Swan and Trezor? Is that kind of the team size that you're shooting for, or, set the stage for what the problem is that you're hoping to solve?
Yeah, right. Like, so, at Swan, it was like 100 plus people, across, different team and different function. Same at Trezor and Satoshi Lab. And even in my previous company, it was like, 100 people, mostly using things like, Slack, GitHub, Notion, Figma, the usual. And, they are all great tools, but like the problem is that the informations are very scattered, right? Like, you write some notes in whatever Google Docs, then you realize, there's something else in Notion, and then there's discussing Notion, and then there's discussion in Slack, and then different discussion in GitHub, and it's all over the place. And, that's one problem. Second problem that I realized when I entered, the Bitcoin is like, how important is the security and basically data that you don't want to leak? And, everyone is rightly so basically very concerned about like how to manage the data, that basically you don't want to own any data. But like the fact is that you don't actually own anything, right? Like you have all those, you can have like 50 plus tools. And each of them has like different set of data about your business and about your customers probably. And that's kind of frightening. It's really hard to manage that. And you have like dedicated security teams that basically is managing accesses for new employees and, then employees, quit the job and you need to handle that they don't have access and all those things. And basically it's very cumbersome because all those tools are also integrated with each other. So basically data is flowing in different direction. So another angle is security. But like what intrigued me the most is that, what I really loved and how the whole idea came in my mind was like, I was basically playing with Nostr and like checking something on my mobile phone and then try on desktop some different apps. And basically I'm using the same relays, just different client. And suddenly the data looks different. It's like, wow, this is quite interesting because when I'm thinking about it, like, let's say in work, we work on some project and we use, you know, some Slack channel, we use some Figma file for design, some Notion documentation, and it's all about the same project, but basically kind of different places. But like, if you think about it from Nostr perspective, it's the same data, just different perspective on that same data. And that's basically how the idea kind of originated in my head. It's like, hey, what about if we have one singular relay for the company with all the data about one project and just the different client basically see the data from their perspective and they are kind of optimized for that given use case, but the data is the same on one place that is owned by the company. So that's kind of the origin of the idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of dimensions there. So the basic idea is, you know, the interoperability that Nostr creates can be used by business software across 10 to 100 tools to reduce the number of accounts that users have to manage, interfaces, well, actually not interfaces they have to learn. Well, potentially, because, you know, like maybe you use the interface that's tailored to your role rather than having to learn the interface that the developers use or the designers use or whatever. The security dimension is an interesting one too. And, you know, it's like just the classic double-edged sword of security, of self-hosting. Outsourcing is easier, but it's more brittle. And then self-hosting means you always have to be actually responsible for the thing that you're doing, apply security updates and not forget your private keys and stuff like that. So, yeah. So the problem is basically from an employee perspective, it's confusing, it's cumbersome, and it introduces friction, which reduces sort of productivity, basically, would be a way to describe it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one thing, right? And again, if you look at the classic scenarios, like we are discussing one thing and, you know, it could be in GitHub issue, in GitHub pull request and some other discussion in Slack, and, you know, and some tools and one inspiration, for example, was a Linear. I don't know if you guys know, but like this great new tool for developers, like as a basically to-do list or like project board. And they have really nice feature that they synchronize the discussion between Slack thread and the discussion in the Linear issue. And you know what's nice? That basically you don't care where you do the discussion. If you're a developer, let's say you are more in the Linear, you discuss there, but it appears in the Slack. And I bet actually it was really hard for them to build this feature, kind of synchronize, but like with Nostr, it's super simple. Right. And you can imagine that we could build this across multiple clients. And I see, I saw really like the power, how like such a small feature could really boost the productivity because suddenly you don't care where the discussion is held. You just basically see it where it's appropriate for you from, you know, job that you had. So that's one thing. Another thing that I would maybe add is like always, especially in bigger companies, people are opinionated about the tools that they want to use, right? Like, I don't know, you are a designer and you like Figma or you like Adobe XD or, you know, something else. And again, you face a problem that basically the company needs to choose one tool. And so very often it's even the choice is based on exactly like things like security, like do they have like proper handling of data and stuff like that. And it's not about the user experience of the employee. And again, I think Nostr really nicely solved it because like the data is held by the relay and it's kind of, it's separate concern like from the client. And basically I can imagine future where each designer and the company choose their own client based on what they like. And because the data are interoperable and it's single source of data, right? Like you can use whatever you want. And maybe this is a very kind of edge scenario, but like, imagine that the company is not happy with the software that they have, right? Like classic example is like they are using some Jira or Confluence, some old software, but they have, you know, lots of data and actually making switch to something new and something modern, it's really hard because all the data is there. It's really hard to export it. It's really hard to import it to this new tool. But again, imagine future with Noster. It's like the data are interoperable. The data are separated from the client. So basically, if you are not happy with this client, you simply say, okay, I don't want to use it anymore. And I simply just change the client, but the data are there and you can almost like without friction start using the new tool that is better and offer you better features.
Yeah. And looking at things from a protocol perspective is really a logical next step for a lot of business oriented businesses, B2Bs, I guess. You know, like it seems like the logical progression for a lot of these businesses is they start by solving a problem really well with a very scoped down minimal product. And then that slowly feature creeps over time until it gets to be too unwieldy to continue to maintain and develop. And at that point, they start to pivot into automations, first bespoke automations, and then eventually creating open APIs and third-party integrations. This was a path that I was taking with my previous job. It was a much smaller project, but you know, we were thinking about opening up a developer platform to allow people to customize the software because every business does things differently. And so you end up with like Slack apps and bots, and as well as, you know, like Intercom did the same thing. They had all the email automations, but then, you know, just continue to open up the platform further and further. And then ultimately you have this open API, but, you know, it's gated by an exorbitant enterprise subscription or something like that to really get the goodness out of it because they've invested so much into it. So that totally makes sense. But with Noster, you know, you start with an open API, not only in terms of functionality, but also in terms of data. And this is something I've been thinking about for a long time. And you see some of it out there on Noster, but not nearly to the extent that I think could happen. Just bots, you know, we have social media bots that show up and you can have a conversation with the LLM or whatever, but having bots that do targeted activities out there on the Noster network is definitely something that could be done. A friend of mine uses Zapier to duct tape all his business components together.
Right.
He uses like web scrapers and stuff to pull data from government websites that just don't have any API at all. One interesting question to this whole thing is like, what is the line between interoperability of data? So common data types, Noster events, and proprietary data, because, you know, there are going to be a lot of valuable data resources that are not going to implement Noster. So, you know, for example, like court records or something like that, if they're on the internet, which I mean, even in the first place, like that's often not the case, but they're not going to be publishing the marriage license records as Noster events or something like that. So you're going to have to shim that. Same thing with business software. Business software is often very high fidelity, very opinionated. Like if you look at Shopify's API, it is just a huge scope. And, you know, they've got like 10 different APIs even. And, you know, you contrast with like NIP99 classifieds or even NIP15 marketplaces, it's a probably 1% the size of like integration surface area. So how do you see that that complexity being managed with an interoperable standard? Like, are you thinking pack the complexity into the protocol or create data adapters so that there's some lowest common denominator of like shared context?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's one of the biggest question of the whole project. Like, you know, what is it and how far we can get? And, you know, my initial thinking is like, again, when I'm really looking from the kind of user or in this case, like employee perspective, right? Like what is the thing that, that people are struggling most? And I think it's the communication, right? Like, for example, if you look at, I don't know, Twitter complaining about different business software, like one of the most hated are Microsoft Teams and Slack. And I don't think it's just about those two software, but generally about the communication and how it's hard. And so my first thought is basically, if we just can get like the different products, different apps communicate to each other through Noster, it's a huge win. And that's basically what Noster does already. So I think that's doable. I like, so imagine if you're commenting in Notion, in Figma, in Slack, in GitHub, it's a comment, it's a post. We know how to do it in Nostr and just make it interoperable. I think it would be a huge win and it would really change the industry. Everything else, I would say it's nice to have. And I totally get that. I don't know, like, again, I was describing Figma example, right? Figma, maybe they want to have their own kind of system, like file way of sort of capturing the designs. And okay, it's fine. It will not be interoperable. Maybe over time, we will do things like simple things, right? Like documents. I think that's totally doable. Maybe things like to-do lists. Again, Geo's very doable. And then let's see. So basically, my approach is starting with the kind of commenting and sharing the messages across the all the different business apps, and then go with the ones that are kind of easy and not sort of low-hanging fruit, and let's see where it is. I think one great thing about Nostr is like you don't need to have like the complete picture, right? Like you start with small piece and then bring more and more as kind of organically as the ecosystem grows. So yeah, I don't think there is future where everything is interoperable. Probably that's not doable, but already I see lots of places where we can do it and it would bring huge value to the employees.
Yeah, I think that's a really reasonable approach because, you know, in your slide deck, I was just looking through that again before we connected here. You know, you've got, you open up a comment on a Figma frame, right? And then a picture of that frame shows up in GitHub automatically. And that would be basically Figma's job to figure out how to, you know, turn that component layout into a simple image and then publish that. And yeah, like without having to publish their entire hierarchy and system for declaring components. Yeah. So that's exactly what I was thinking of. But you're right. Like there's a ton of low hanging fruit and most business work is done in text. And like a large minority is done with images. And then it's actually the minority that's done using proprietary data formats. Like, you know, CAD, for example. CAD is a proprietary data format. People spend a ton of time, you know, creating those designs. But it's a lot of work that goes into a small, simple, like relatively like scoped in design. Even those have open standards, though. You know, if you can render to an STL, browsers often have STL, you know, renderers built into them. So, and this is like an interesting question of like, how do we put a line between Nostr data types and web data types, right? And you know, this is kind of goes back to the question about RSS. Should Nostr replace RSS or complement RSS? RSS is a particular data type and it's internet native, but it's not, public private key infrastructure native. And so like, do we bridge those? I think we should bridge them. Yeah. Jeff wants RSS to burn, I guess, but, you know, but we recently added NIP22 comments. Are you familiar with that spec at all?
I'm not a technical guy. So I read it because I read the whole most of the specification, but, you know, I try to not come from the technical perspective. That's why I got it from the product. So, that I don't know.
Yeah, with NIP22 comments. So previously, you know, you would do an E tag or maybe an A tag to reply to a note, but that's all within Nostr. With NIP22 comments, you can now do an I tag, which allows you to reply to a GUID from like, you know, TMDB, the movie database, or something like that, mm-hmm. or just a URL. And so, you know, as long as the referent can be represented as a URL, even if it's a URL to a proprietary platform or something, you can comment portably on anything. And then like Open Graph Data, I think is a great, I mean, it's a really terrible standard, but it exists and has wide support across the internet to where if you have a URL, you can request that via a server and then bring that Open Graph Data in and render a preview. So a lot of the building blocks are already set up, but that sort of like self-verifiable text chunk is not something that really exists on the internet. Is that kind of how you see the difference, or other benefits that Nostr brings to the table other than that?
By the way, I definitely agree that that's the way, right? Like, don't force the whole ecosystem in one interoperable, that everything needs to be on the Nostr. No, I don't think it's like, it would be nice, but like, you know, like, it's a journey, probably a very long journey. And even with the business apps, like, as you said, right? Like, some the history is maybe, I don't know, 20, 30, maybe even more years old standards they're developed. And it's it would be very nice to say, okay, hey, we have Nostr, like, let's kind of move everything to Nostr. Probably not. So, like, I think we need to figure out a way how kind of the old world communicates with the Nostr. And if we at least chunk of the work can be handled through Nostr and bring new experiences, I think it's a great win. So that's how I look at it. I'm definitely going to align with that vision.
Another dimension or like area where this could be useful, it's maybe a little bit outside of what we're talking about, but you know, what comes to mind is forms that you have to fill out with the same information. So, you know, in a browser, it autofills your address and your credit card and stuff like that. But there are a lot of websites that ask for the same information over and over again. And, you know, we mentioned Vitor earlier. Medical software is like that too. You know, you fill in your medical history sometimes two or three times for a single doctor's visit. It's ridiculous. And I feel like that's probably just a result of poor design. You know, do you think there's anything that Nostr can do to improve that situation? Obviously, for personal data, it's sensitive, so you'd want it like encrypted, and you'd want to like be able to pull that out at will and apply it to particular applications and share it selectively. But is that kind of in scope for this whole thing, or is that kind of like a separate problem in your mind?
Maybe it's a separate problem. Like, honestly, I didn't think about this aspect. Like, I would say in general, right? Like, if everything is interoperable, then it'd be great. But on the other hand, I think when we try it in the history, like, actually some problems are really hard to really standardize, because there are trade-offs, and try to capture the complexity of the real world, it's actually really hard. But yeah, like, honestly, I didn't think about this particular aspect. No deep thoughts on this one.
Yeah, fair enough. That's kind of a tangential thought of mine. But I figured I'd ask it. Another thing I was thinking about while I was looking through your slide deck again is, you know, extensibility seems really important for this project. We've already talked a little bit about bots. Just for an example, I'm working on Flotilla, and a suggestion a friend of mine gave me is having a tab that allows you to talk to an LLM that's trained on your community notes. So you could basically go to the LLM and say, like, well, I don't want to like jump in with both feet and notify 100 people with my question, but do you think that this community, or what do they think about this particular thing, this particular topic, or like, what would you say are the values of this community? And that would allow a user to sort of wrap their head around the community as a collective whole before really starting to participate in it. That can be, I think, good. It can also be bad, because it would also take a little bit of the conversation away from the community space, which you want to fuel. But there could be a good application for that. But that's just one example. You know, you have this bot, it's running on a server, it's trained with the data, and then it's accessible through the interface. I want to talk about another extensibility thing, but what are some examples of ways that Nostr can create bots that are more useful than like existing business software? What are some like use cases that you're thinking of?
I will maybe answer even more broader way than just bots. Like, one of the vision, or like one of the struggle that I saw, is when actually software engineers or like builders in the you know, business SaaS space are building some app, and very soon, I will give you an example. There is like this product called Campsite, which is basically alternative to Slack, and they just closed because and it was really good software, but the problem was the integration with all the other apps. Basically, the feedback from their customers was like, okay, like, we really like you. It's so much better than Slack. But basically, in our Slack, we have all the integration with everything else. And if you look at, for example, Slack, if you look at Notion, obviously what Microsoft is doing, they try to build this, like, this whole ecosystem of all these apps and now even the AI bots and everything. And basically, it's closed system. So basically, Microsoft wants you to have all the, you know, apps from Microsoft. Now, Notion wants to have like Notion, Notion Calendar. They will have Notion Email, and I bet they will have something like Notion Slack. The same thing, you know, Slack is doing, right? Like, you have Slack, you have some sort of like Slack documents, even they have now Project Board, and obviously, again, the bots. And so basically, you have like those closed systems that, okay, sometimes there are integration between them, but honestly, those players wants to basically lock you in. And what Nostr brings you, basically, this kind of open space that anything could be there, even the bots. So I think this will be great improvement because, first of all, you will own the data and you can handle it and use it for whatever AI tools. That's one aspect which is great. But the other aspect is that I think over time, the experiences of the, let's say, classical apps, but also of the AI bots will be better because right now, like what, for example, Notion is doing is, yeah, they are building some AI tool in their ecosystem. And, you know, they want to basically pay sort of higher tiers so they get more money. But it's lots of engineering effort because they are building sort of everything for everyone because, you know, they want to close all the companies. But imagine that you are building in this Nostr for Business thing, right? Like you will purely focus on small thing. Let's say you are building this specific AI bot that is super great at specific thing, I don't know, for marketing or for engineers. And it could be built by 2, 3, 4, 5 people, but really focus on this one thing. And it's fine. And you can try because it's open system. Versus, you know, if you would build the same thing for the classic, like the way how it's now done, you need to spend enormous time to integrate with Notion, with Slack, with everything else, because you don't have the data. So I think that will be the big difference that the creators in the Nostr business space, they can really focus on the core experiences or on the core product, and they don't need to care about all those integration that now the apps need to kind of handle. So I think it will be great improvement. So not sure I did answer your question, but like that's one thing that really kind of fuels me because I think it will really, again, bring way better experiences that currently we have.
Yeah, no, I think that was a better answer than the question I was asking for sure. Yeah. And from like a product design, engineering, owner, business ownership sort of perspective, all of those things, that sounds wonderful because, you know, I don't really want to be a CEO taking on a bunch of funding, you know, VC capital for funding my project. I don't want to manage a bunch of people. I would really like to be able to make a good product that is focused and which I can call done and which will, you know, allow me to feed my family and get a reasonable income. And I think there's a lot of people who are like me who want agency along with being able to build something. Usually people find that through contracting, giving their work away to larger platforms. And so like my question is, from a design and engineering point of view, this sounds wonderful. Have you thought about it at all from a profitability point of view? So like, how do we monetize these things? How do we monetize, whether it's bots or whether it's data formats how do you monetize a calendar app that is just simple, it's good, and it talks to, you know, Proton's suite if they add Nostr support kind of thing. Like, you know, swap out their calendar for something else. Obviously, I've had problems with Proton's calendar. How can we make this work from a financial point of view where we're not getting recaptured by the big businesses with the funding?
Yeah, that's a great question. Not sure I have like real answers. Like, you could say, you know, subscription or something like that. My thinking is basically that right now, let's say that you are paying for a Proton calendar, right? Like, okay, you have one subscription, but I guess in this case, right? Like if you're a company, you will somehow manage your relay, and maybe it's self-hosted, so you need to have kind of own employees handling that, or maybe you will actually hire somebody to do it for you, which is completely fine and still yours, just somebody is handling it. So okay, so that's, you know, some money that will go to the ecosystem, and then you will basically be hiring the clients. And you know, like, I can see a future that, I don't know, like, okay, if it's some calendar, maybe you pay subscription, probably it's way cheaper than the traditional SaaS calendars, because basically you are just building the client. Probably it's kind of way scope that you are just really focusing on the calendar and not all the other features around it, because you know that that's handled by other apps in the ecosystem, right? So I think the Nostr apps will be way more focused. So that means like less people working on it, less cost, so smaller subscription, but maybe still some subscription. And maybe we'll have some kind of Nostr app store where somebody is running it, making sure that, you know, the apps are proper and secure, and they are not kind of secretly leaking data to somebody else or whatever, right? So I think companies would pay for it. Maybe with the AI bot, it's not based on subscription. Maybe it's on the usage, and basically, whenever you hit some prompt and you get some results back, you pay some sats, and it's even, there is no contract. It's just basically sort of natively. And I don't know. But what I'm thrilled about is that because it's open, I think some models will hopefully emerge over time.
Yeah, mentioning Zaps, have you thought about how money, internet native money, might flow through these applications at all? You know, it's not really like when you're working together collaboratively on a business, there's already a capital structure in place. So like rewarding people back and forth via Zaps person to person probably makes a lot less sense in that context. But, you know, potentially rewarding clients and stuff without having accounts with each one, whether it's usage based or like, you know, donation based, like, hey, you used my calendar app for the 1,000th time this month. Do you want to donate $5 or something like that? Have you thought about that dimension?
Yeah, definitely one aspect, and it's really related to the AI bots is, like, for example, I was using Notion AI, but because our company, we are not paying for it because like nobody's really using it, but time to time you would like to use it. But there is just free trials. We have like, I don't know, 5 fronts that you can use, and then it's over. Basically, this is exactly what I was thinking. Like very often, you know, obviously there are apps that you are using every day, like whatever, Slack, Figma, Notion, and all those. But like, I think there are some apps that maybe you are using it only once for like specific tasks, or exactly some bot that you want to use for specific tasks. And maybe it could be one-time payment, right? And right now, like you need to go through some like, you know, making contract and everything, especially if you want to do it in a secure way. I mean, in this kind of traditional world, but like here in the Nostr, right? Like you own the data and you just simply pay whatever, a couple of sats for, hey, like I need to run this task and do it. Give me results. I will natively pay you with Bitcoin or with sats, and that's it. And no more kind of bureaucracy or no bureaucracy around it. It's super straightforward. So, I think that this could work, and exactly again, to your point, right? Like it could be just one guy, kind of passionate about some very very specific thing, building this specific bot. Okay, it's not like that you will build a new, you know, Notion, but it's a tool. A couple of people are using it. You have some money. You get some zaps every month, and that's good enough, right? And maybe you build a couple of those bots and you are doing good business, right? That, I think that's also what it's referring to me, that things could be smaller, and that's good for me, right? Like that you have small, very narrow, very focused things that you are building, and each company can really like pick and choose what is good for them. And I think this kind of one-time payment through Bitcoin makes perfect sense in this case.
Yeah, it's honestly stunning to me that big businesses haven't adopted micropayments for paying for things, like especially content. Paywalls are the worst user experience. And it would be so easy to just show a little invoice or a button that says, even if it detects a browser extension or something like that, like don't show the button if someone doesn't have Albi or whatever, but or WebLN. But yeah, tons of low hanging fruit there, and potential for a huge revolution. Lots of people have talked about this, but I haven't really seen a lot of compelling implementations of it. I know Arkanox is working on it for podcasts, and then Zach Meyer worked on it for like Flockster gated events and stuff like that. But it'd be really cool to come up with a standard for that kind of thing. And I guess there's Highlighter as well, but he doesn't really have like the paywall thing. I don't know. It's definitely evolving still. I did have another question about extensibility. So, you know, the extensibility of the data formats and functionality on the back end is great. What about extensibility on individual clients? So, you know, should let's say GitHub work differently if you know that it's connected on the back end to Figma or something like that? Like, or is it really, you know, basically links are the extensibility that you're envisioning? Or would there be like a button that says like open this in Figma? I mean, that's basically a link, but it seems like there would be user interface affordances that you would want in order to enrich the like and point to the interoperability based on whether, you know, what other apps you know that these people are using.
Yeah, totally. And good inspiration. And again, like we are basically trying sort of recreate it on Noster, but like Microsoft has this Microsoft loops, and those are the like components. Imagine like to-do list, basically 5 to-dos, and you can have it in you know, Microsoft Teams, and then just copy paste it in your email or in your whatever board. And the nice thing is that whoever like checks it, like it, then the to-do list is checked on all the places, right? This one example. Another example is like, I don't know, you mentioned some ticket, let's say some customer support ticket. And basically, it could have different states like, okay, unresolved, resolved, right? And maybe, exactly, you are having discussion about it, the team with the internal customer support on Slack, and somehow they resolve it, right? So it would be nice to click the button. So I think this should be definitely part of the solution. And basically, somehow we have standard that we can say, okay, like those are the actions that can be done, and maybe the components are again somehow standardized. And this is definitely for more like exploration. So good example, okay, in Figma, right? Like you want to see sort of the picture, what's happening there. If you are sharing some to-do item, right? Like, okay, there is a state, there's assigning and like some common standard, common actions, common properties that you can change. And I think we should somehow at least tell the clients how ideally they should render it and show it in the, for example, in the discussion, and what they can do about it. And obviously it's on them, like if they will use it, but like, yeah, I think this would really enrich the experience, because it's basically bringing it on another level. It's not just about, okay, like you can have one communication across all those different clients, but you can also handle the files and you can say what to do with them from wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are. And you say, okay, this is resolved because, I don't know, we discuss it in GitHub and it's resolved. And so definitely that should be the future in my mind.
Yeah, it's a really hard problem. People have talked about micro apps for a long time, but you know, like an example that comes to mind is a report button. You know, you could report any piece of content for any reason that's outlined in NIP 56. I think it's 56. And what would be neat beyond it being a software library that you include, which introduces like supply chain attacks and you know, trust and version breakages and all this kind of stuff. You could instead use a content addressable Noster event that's you know, potentially immutable, or you know, you just trust them not to update the code too much, but within a sandboxed environment, right? So you're not leaking user data, you're not actually giving any agency off to that script, and what's nice about that is that the client doesn't have to be the one to include the functionality. The client just needs a hook that allows the user or potentially the organization. So like the organization would be the one hosting the relay and would say, you know, install these micro apps. And the clients would just be able to pick those micro apps up and add them. Or potentially users would have an event that lists their micro apps that they have installed. And any client that supports those micro apps or the framework or whatever would be able to add those buttons. And so like users would be able to just get weird buttons, you know, open in Figma buttons for everything, anywhere. That would be fantastic, but obviously kind of a hard engineering problem.
Yeah, definitely. Then again, I feel that more exploration is needed because I think, again, the traditional apps, like I think they somehow try to do it with the integration, but because they already have the problem, like to integrate and sense all the data and stuff like that, they basically, okay, it's working somehow, like let's not touch it. But in our case, it's easier, right? Like we have the data. It's more about saying, okay, like what should we render here, or what are the guidelines? So I think probably one of the hardest problems is hopefully solved, right? And we can really think about and reason like what is the best user experience. But definitely there is tons of things to do and really explore how it should work, because yeah, it's not the easy problem for sure.
Yeah. Another question I had is, you know, is the architecture diagrams you have kind of point to a single relay that's hosted by the business. I could see a use case, a case being made for relays hosted by the clients. And, you know, generally I'm against this. I think they should be decoupled, but in a business context, being able to say, I'm not going to host my own infrastructure, just to use this one app or these three apps or something like that. At what point would like a separate hosting component make sense? And it, in the interim, while people kind of use the relays that are hosted by the services they're using, how would routing work? Do you think, like, would you have an organization ID that is kind of says what products are being used so that they can replicate content between each other? Or like, have you thought about that anymore at all?
Honestly, I was more thinking about in a way that, okay, either you self-host it or basically you hire somebody, basically because we are decoupling it, right? Like, so we can basically say, okay, like basically we have like this provider who say, okay, we will run the relay for you. We will, you know, maintain it, manage it and everything. And you just basically install the clients that you want. That's probably this way makes kind of intuitive to me, make more sense rather than have like the Figma has its own relay and the Notion has its own relay, because then you end up with the same situation that basically the data are scattered. You somehow need to synchronize them. So, I was more thinking about in the way that like you are deciding like how you want to run the relay on you. And I think there could be very different options based on your need, based on, you know, how large your organization is, like what's your sort of security needs and stuff like that. And there could be different tiers. But I think in order to make it work, it needs to be one relay. Otherwise, like as you said, like the routing the data would be super complicated. I'm not sure it's worth it to basically somehow make it work.
Yeah, hosting relays isn't hard, but it is an additional barrier to entry, especially for people kind of just dipping their toes in looking at this ecosystem. But I mean, just imagining what it would look like for products to refer people to hosted relay providers or self-hosting options kind of makes me excited. I have something like this in Flotilla. It already sort of works this way. When you go to create a new community, it says, like, go ahead and enter a relay URL if you have one, or click here and then we'll send you over to Nostr.tools. I always do that, relay.tools, and you can get a relay set up there. And of course, those are all run on a single server technically. So you have a decentralization problem with that. But having services that are aligned and, you know, it'd be basically like an OAuth flow. A lot of the complexity that goes into authentication right now with email sign up flows and all that kind of stuff, that would move over to relay selection flows, where you're actually being hard redirected to your relay host that is pre-configured in some way or other, or you select from a list and then redirected back to the client with an authentication token, potentially, if that relay is closed, because like a lot of business data is closed. So you'd be, the client would take that and they'd say, okay, well, auth as the client potentially. And that way you can revoke permissions from any given client at any given time, as well as for users that you're acting on behalf of. I know you're not deep in the engineering stuff and the specs, but do you feel like these use cases for authenticating clients as well as users are covered by the tools we currently have, or would there be additional work necessary to make that work?
I definitely think that this is one of the aspects that especially the security teams will celebrate, because there's kind of one place and one access management. They will say, okay, this guy is in the organization or not, and okay, this guy is C level and he has access everywhere, whereas this guy is only guy for this place and has access to those tools. And maybe it's not just about the tools, right? Like, you can also more manage the data, right? Like, this guy has access to those projects versus not to those projects. And it's, again, across all those clients. So I think this is one aspect that I think that the security people in the companies will celebrate. And purely from employees' perspective and even mine, like, right now, the company's out, it's a horrible experience, right? Like, basically, usually you have some sort of like central app that tries to log you everywhere. Half time it's not working, that you log out from Slack, then you log out from Notion, and basically it's a horrible experience. It's a really horrible experience. And having that, you know, it's a morning, I log in once with my biometric or whatever, and then I have access everywhere. It's a dream, right? But right now it's not working that way. So I think even the employees would really celebrate how it would be done on Noster, because it's, again, you are just authenticating against one piece, not, you know, multiple.
Yeah, I find it interesting. Really interesting how the role of centralization is in decentralization, right? Like,
right.
You're talking about centralizing, increasing the level of centralization within a business's like tools, right? Instead of having many different servers and many different platforms, you're moving everything to a single server. But the difference is you're trusting yourself and you have a single point of management, which aligns with the trust structure that you have. Same thing with the community, like getting people to run their chat servers off of an actual server rather than be a Discord where servers are just a virtual thing. They're just a row in the database. That's centralizing for the community, because you have a single hosting provider who can deplatform the entire thing. But it's okay, because the hosting provider is aligned with the leadership of the community. And of course, because everything is signed, you can always escape if you have something horrible happen with backups or mirrors or something like that. Having that like choke point for authentication where you can just turn a person off and revoke access from the system, that's actually great, because that's how organizations are structured. You either work there or you don't. So yeah,
exactly. You are removing complexity. And I would also argue that you say, okay, right now it's more decentralized because whatever Figma data are in Figma, but the Notion data are with Notion. But again, like, all those two are integrated with each other, so they are listening to each other's data. So basically you don't know where the data are, right? Like, yeah, they are everywhere. So to some point, basically, you are multiplying the points where it can fail, because basically all your data are everywhere. That's, I think, how you need to look at it, even though maybe it's not true, but like, because you don't know, like, you need to sort of think that way. And from that perspective, actually, we are removing the points where it could fail. And you have, and I think like the biggest points, right? Like, you are removing complexity, and always, if you don't really understand, you are kind of lost, then it's easier to make mistakes. And this way, I think it's way simpler and can be really focused on what you're managing. And so I think it would definitely improve the situation.
Yeah, it's tempting to think that a relay-based system, a Noster-based system, something that's interoperable and with many different front ends would be harder to understand than what people are used to. But it's also easy to underestimate how complex what we currently do is. Like, OAuth, I mean, SAML, all the single sign-on stuff, it's just like, it's terrible, and that complexity leaks out to the end user. And again, like, we started the conversation with this, it wastes people's time like a ton. Yep. So one way that you've sort of messaged with the Noster for Business stuff is that it's Noster for Business. Like, it kind of sounds like a separate protocol. Is it a separate protocol in your mind, or is it just an application of the existing data types that we've already got with some potential, like, you know, new nips to cover other use cases?
I wouldn't say it's new protocol, but again, I'm just product guy. It definitely needs more engineering exploration. But to me, it makes sense to reuse as much as we already have. And I think, as we discussed, right, like, I think the core of it is actually the messaging, and that's already done. So why not using that? Why I kind of say not for business? I think it makes sense to basically put all the kind of specification that it's not new, but basically just sort of like take it, what is it, and kind of put it in nice structure for any new SaaS builder that wants to build some cool application to have all the relevant, you know, NIPS and all the relevant standards on one place. I think that would be useful, but that doesn't mean that it's kind of different thing than after. And by the way, I can imagine a future where, like, I don't know, like, almost every company has marketing department. Huge part of marketing department is posting on social media, right?
Yeah.
So in future, be on Nostr. So it would be easy, right? Like, from the Slack Nostr, you will just send it, hey, like, publish it. And it's the same thing, basically, right? So,
yeah, that was my next question. Like, you know, expand on that. Are there synergies between the social media use case and the business use case? Like, obviously, a lot of products can be used in both contexts. And, like, also, I want to mention, I have long been an advocate for what I call decommodification of relays. So having relays that are special, that have access control and policies and content retention policies and stuff like that. And this seems to make sense. Like, there's a big overlap between communities and businesses. They're oriented at different things, have different goals and different character of communication, but they're a really similar project in terms of, like, structure and membership. But yeah, like, synergy. So maybe you create some release notes on GitHub releases or something like that. And then you would push a button to cross post that. And maybe a window would come up that says, like, you're leaving your business server. This is going to be public data. It's going to be posted to the broader network. Is that okay? And then you'd just say, yeah, go ahead. Are there any other examples in your mind, of something like that?
Well, I know it's hard, it's a very like speculation, but like we already discussed basically kind of that things would be smaller, the companies would be smaller. And I can also, like, one aspect that I can see is that right now, for example, it's really hard to hire outside contractor for a specific thing, right? Because basically you need to give them to access to all your data and so on. But imagine that, I don't know, let's say that it's kind of like the same thing as we discussed with the AI, but that for particular tasks, you need somebody, but in this case, it's human, right? Like, I don't know, like, you need this guy to produce this, I don't know, great video, but just for this project. And maybe, like, let's say that this is the future, right? Like, the companies will be smaller, you will kind of hire independent contractor, and because it's easy to kind of plug them in, maybe they have their own client. You just give them access to your data. It's easier to basically bring them in and do their task. Maybe, like, you know, there are platforms like Upwork and stuff like that, right? Like, where you hire the freelancers. And maybe this will be actually way bigger thing because it will be easier. And obviously part of it is basically how people promote themselves on social media, their work, right? So, I don't have anything specific, but also kind of seeing this future where there are smaller companies hiring sort of freelancers. Those freelancers are active, showing their work, how things are done. So everything is kind of interconnected. I'm not sure if I answer you, but, like, probably you see where I'm heading with this.
Yeah, I do. I mean, the idea of cryptographically signed work portfolios is interesting. But yeah, I mean, like, working with contractors, reducing the friction between finding a contractor and getting them to be productive is awesome. You don't have to prescribe a separate client because the data format leaks over into your own thing. So that would resolve a lot of those kind of rigid policies that a lot of companies have. I mean, obviously there's the knowledge part of it too, but what was I going to say? Oh yeah. Well, I was just going to going to make a joke that the holy grail of this whole thing is that developers will never have to leave their terminal anymore.
Yeah.
Just use NAC for everything.
Exactly.
Cool. So what's the status of this project? Have you guys built anything? You're designer product guy. Have you worked with any developers? Are you just kind of like putting this out there and seeing where it goes?
Honestly, I kind of think that this shouldn't have been published because basically I was contacting Pablo because I work with him at Swan and say, hey, like I need to consult this thing. Like, is it even doable? Because we spent a couple of months with my old colleague designer kind of thinking about this. And I was like, hey, like it'd be good to have like some technical feedback. And, he invited me to this, open office of the like Noster Force, Noster Special Force. Is it that name? Basically, I presented there and they were, hey, can you publish it so I can share it? So I publish it and that's how it got outside. So I think we are way too early. So basically where we are at design kind of exploration. It's one thing. Second thing, we are kind of establishing the team. So definitely if you're an engineer and you find this project interesting, please DM me. Because we are forming the team and the goal is to basically start exploring. Like our idea, honestly, is to first build alternative to Slack because we kind of feel that the messaging is the core of it. Slack is, all about messaging. And honestly, we see that basically in this current world, like even though Slack sucks and basically people has lots of problems with Slack, it's really hard to replace Slack because of all the integration. But like if we build good alternatives to Slack, and it's based on Noster, then it's easier for the new Noster business apps to plug in. So that's the idea where to start. But honestly, at first, we would like to build basically just sort of like examples. Like imagine like very simple alternative to Slack, very, very simple alternative to Notion, very simple alternative, to Trello. And just basically see and demonstrate both from technical, but also like design perspective, how it could work, how are the workflows, how it work. And again, we are more coming from sort of product design perspective. So even exploring how the new experiences, real level up experiences for the employees, I think it's necessary exercise because I think then it will create sort of passion for others as, oh, this is really bringing something new, something better, and we want to build in this ecosystem. So this is very, very rough plan again. I'm far from being ready to kind of publish this, but this is our early thinking and that's where we are.
Well, Noster is a great place to be working out in the open. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. This is fantastic and hopefully it catches someone's ear who's interested in working on a project like this. I think that's a good place to leave it. Do you have any final thoughts?
Just like if you're interested, please DM me and we are forming the team and if you want to be part of this, like let's do it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on, Jan, and we will see you all on Noster.
Thank you.